Okay. I never got changed so quick. So we've already heard that. My name's Scott Williamson. Can I add my welcome to you if you're visiting? I'm the senior minister here at the church, and I'm delighted that you've joined us this evening to see what you've seen. And, you know, in my job, I have lots of things to do, you know, as a pastor. People say that pastors only work one day a week. If that was the case, there'd be a lot more people going into ministry. I tell you, there would. But actually, you know, one of the things as a pastor, you have to do lots of stuff as a pastor. Unfortunately, you have to do hard stuff. You have to see people at the end of life. But one of the joys that you get to do as a pastor is weddings. They're usually joyful, usually. More of them that I've done are joyful to this point. Dedicate children, which means just asking God to look after children. And we as a church here, we dedicate children, so we ask God to take care of them until they come to a stage that you've heard today where they can say, I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus. And also baptisms. I've baptized a lot of people over the last 15 years, and it's a wonderful thing to do. So I want to just spend the next few moments, well, it won't be a few moments, it'll probably be a little bit longer than that, if you know me. I used to work in Peru for 7.5 years, so I'm a bit Latino. Do you not mind, do you? You know, just go on and on and on and on and on. Is that okay? I love to see all the visitors are saying yes, and all the church members are saying, no, no, get us out of here. But I just want to start by saying, you know, I want to ask us some questions tonight. We've already seen two people who have come to that place of understanding who Jesus is. And before I baptize you, you would have heard that I said, you know, it's our faith is our faith. It can't be anybody else's faith. I didn't grow up in a Christian family, so my faith had to be my faith. But often when we're born into a Christian family, sometimes we can say, well, I'm a Christian anyway. Well, no, that doesn't make sense. We've got to make a personal commitment to Jesus ourselves. And we've heard tonight of two people that have done that. But in life, is it not true that we all want to be accepted? In different places, in schools, family, work, and in all different areas of life, we all want to be accepted, really. And I want to just take a few moments to explain to you about somebody who will accept you for who you are, who will accept you unconditionally for who you are. A lot of people have come to understand who this person is, and we've heard his name already spoken about this evening. His name is Jesus. But there are countless examples in history where people didn't accept Jesus. They rejected Jesus. Christmas is coming, and the pastor's getting fat. No, Christmas is coming. Pardon? I said it. This is my wife, if you're visiting. She said it, so she's allowed to say that. No other church members are allowed to, but you still do, but I still love you. But at his birth, when Jesus was born, he was rejected. There was no room for him to be born in the inn. At the story of the cross, a man said, if you are the Christ, then save yourself. Still to that moment, people hadn't accepted who Jesus was. After his resurrection, when he had died and come back to life again, if that wasn't enough, people still refused to believe him. Throughout history, countless people have rejected him. And maybe you are sat here today and you've also rejected this person called Jesus. But as many people have rejected him over the centuries, many people have come to accept him. And why have they come to accept him? They've come to accept him because they've encountered Jesus. One of my prayers for us as a church in this congregation here is that we don't actually show people what church looks like. We show people what Jesus looks like. Because when people encounter Jesus, they come to an understanding of somebody who will fully accept them 100%. In the Bible's full of words. But in John chapter 8, verse 36, it says this. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son sets you are free indeed. What does that mean? What does that really mean? Well, let me just spend a few moments trying to explain what it means. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Who's the Son? The Son's Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is Father and Son, and he's the one that said, if he sets you free, you are free indeed forever. And I'm Scottish, you know. William Wallace. I named my budgie William Wallace in Peru. We had a budgie. We named him William Wallace. And one of my church members in Peru, they painted their face in the banner of Scotland, and they once came up to me and said, freedom! And I thought, well, nice, but, you know, freedom is something that, if you watch the movie with William Wallace in, it's all about freedom. But actually, Jesus speaks about freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. And later on in his word, in the Message Bible says this. The Message is kind of the modern day Bible. And it's good. It paraphrases stuff, so I wouldn't read it all the time. But it says this: if you stick with me, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure, and you will be able to live for me forever. You see, Jesus, when he reads, when this passage of scripture was spoken about that we're looking at today, it was to some new people in their new relationship with Jesus. So this scripture would have been spoken to people that were quite new in their faith. So Jesus was saying to them, so if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And when he spoke these words a long, long time ago, he was speaking to people that actually weren't really that free. He was speaking to people who hadn't known the freedom of Christ. He was speaking to people who were trying to be good people. They were trying to do it right. But actually they hadn't fully allowed Jesus to give them freedom that would last forever. And I want to talk just for a few moments about what does freedom look like? And can you have freedom in your life tonight? Can you have freedom with Christ tonight? The simple answer is yes, but I'm going to take a little bit longer to tell you why. The simple answer is yes. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this, I have come that you may have life and have life to the full. Chloe and Chelsea know that scripture to be true, that Jesus came to give them life and life in all its fullness. Because we believe as Christians, as Bible-believing Christians, that Jesus has a purpose for our lives. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I was a rebel. Speaking to Chloe and to Chelsea, man, they were good compared to what I did in my life. But Jesus saved me as well by his grace. But you know, Jesus said, I come that you may have life and life to all its full. So if we go back to what it says, so if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. What does that really mean for us today? I believe freedom is what God wants to give to all of us. God wants to give us all freedom in Christ. God wants to give us a new life in Christ. A new life that we've heard spoken about tonight in those testimonies that are shared. Jesus wants to give us freedom to be who he wants us to be. Jesus doesn't want us to live a life without him. Jesus wants us to live a life with him. I once read a story. Nobody knows where this story came from, but it said this. A farmer market in a little village in Scotland. A man went to go and buy some animals, and he saw lots of quails. You know what quails are? Little things. You can eat them. They're quite delicious, really. And there's these quails, and there were about 25 quails. And all they were doing, they were circling around a pole. And attached to their feet was some string. And that string was attached to the pole. So all you can imagine is there's about 15 or 20 quails. All they're doing is walking around this pole, okay? And they're all following each other like this, you know? Well, how do they walk? I don't know. We won't do that anyway. That would be quite embarrassing. But actually, these quails were just walking around. Mummy quail, auntie quail, uncle quail, whoever they were. And they're all walking around this pole because their feet were tied to the pole. So imagine there's a pole and all the quails are here. And they're all walking around, but their feet are tied to this pole. So they're all just walking around. Can't be a very fun life, can it? And this man came to the market and he said, how much can I pay for them? He said, how many of them? And the man said, I want to pay for all of them. And this man thought, wow, this is my fortunate day. He said, well, I guess you probably put the price up a bit. You know, if anybody said they want to buy them all, you put the price up, wouldn't you? Oh, maybe I've been in Peru for too long. So he said, how much will it cost? And the man said, well, it'll cost X amount. And the man said, I want to buy them all. He said, but there's 25, and I've put a price a bit higher than what... He says, I don't care. I'm going to pay them all. Gets his money out, pays the man for them. And as soon as he paid the man for them, what he did, he's got some scissors. And the man thinks, what's he going to do? He got some scissors and he just cut all the string off the legs of these little quails. Bless them, eh? And as he did that, this man said, what are you doing? You're a fool. You just bought them. They're going to run away. He says, I don't think they are. And you know what these quails did? They just kept walking around in the same position. And they didn't run away at all. Because that was their life. And they just got content with it. And they knew no better. And they just kept walking around. None of them flew, none of them went anywhere. They just kept going around this pole. And this man said, why are you setting them free? He said, well, because I want them to be free. And they wouldn't move. They kept doing this. And so this man got up to them and he just shooed them along a bit. And they still just kept walking around. He thought, well, I paid money. I might as well leave the market. I left them all behind. But he shooed them on a bit longer. And then they started to just have some little flutter. And they started to fly away. You see, for us in our life, we can just be like those quails. We can just be tied up by life itself. And we can just keep going round and round and round and round and round and round the same things. But those quails were given freedom. And what did they do? They didn't go anywhere. They stayed in the same thing. But it wasn't until that man just came and just gave them a little shove, told them about what freedom looks like. You know, imagine you can fly off now and you can eat what you want, you can do what you want, you can go and have a new life. And they started to fly away. And they started to have freedom. And the message I want to say to you tonight, that there's freedom for all who want to know Jesus. There's freedom for all who want to know Jesus. You know, your life, I don't know what it looks like tonight, but imagine, you know, that might be you. You know, your feet have been cut off, but you're still going round in the same thing that you've done forever and ever. And in simple terms, Jesus wants to say, I want to give you freedom. I want to give you freedom to live life the way I intend it to be. But why don't we do that? Because there's many people in this world that Jesus said, I want to give you life and life in all its fullness. I want to give you freedom. But still people choose to just live the same way because they've always done it that way. But I'm a pastor and I believe in what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that God wants to give us freedom. And I want to say this. The first thing I want to say is this, that we often don't have freedom because of the guilt of sin. Sometimes we have a cloud of guilt hanging over our heads because we've done things in the past and we think, well, God's never going to love me and he's never going to accept me and he's never going to allow me to be in his kingdom. Well, let me tell you this, if you've only heard this for the first time, we've all done things wrong. All of us have done things wrong. Me included. But Jesus wants to say this. He simply wants to say, if you've done things that are wrong and you have done things in your life that you're ashamed of, that you're not happy that you've done, Jesus says, I want to give you freedom from sin. I want to take those things away from you. He says this in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. You see, we've seen two people tonight that have been baptized, and the reason they've been baptized is because they've come to a saving grace in Jesus. But that was a journey. It didn't just happen just like that. But they came to an understanding that whatever they had done, the sin that they had done, the things that were wrong, the things that they thought that were so bad that God will never forgive them. God said to them, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, so often the church, people think the church wants to present a different message. Well, this church wants to say that if you've done things that are wrong, we believe in the Bible. And the Bible says clearly, if you confess those things to God, that he will forgive you from those things. And there might be some of you tonight, you know, you're like those quails, you're not free. But actually, you might need to have a little nudge. And that little nudge might be this. Freedom from the guilt of sin is possible. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've come from, how bad it's been. And if I had all night, which I could quite happily be with you all night, but some of you have fallen asleep already at the back. But you know what? If I had all night, I could tell you loads of stories about people who have understood God and God has forgiven them for their sins. and they've had freedom in Christ. But you see, there's a thing called condemnation. You know, there's a thing that we say, well, I'm condemned. You know, somehow I can't ever be the person I want to be because these things are so bad, they're going to condemn me for the rest of my life. Well, actually, the Bible says again, not me. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death. You see, the Bible says pretty clearly in many, many places, if you've got sin in your life, God says, I want to take those things away. And I'm not just talking to people that don't know Jesus. I'm talking to all of us tonight. That God says, I want to take those things away. I want to clean those things out of you that are bad. But you know, we put that whole sense on us about condemnation. No, I'm so bad. I think sometimes we like to feel that we're bad because we just want to live in that shallow hole for the rest of our life. I'm so grateful tonight that we've heard two stories. I'm so grateful for my own story. That God said to me, you no longer have to live that way. And somebody, a guy called Anthony Topham, and Graham Topham, when I was walking around like that, I knew the freedom that Christ would give me. I was like a little quail, but I was still walking around the pole. And it wasn't until one of those people came up to me and nudged me a bit and told me about the truth of Scripture that I realized that actually it could be true for me. It could be true for me. And then I got into that stage where, oh no, you know, condemnation, no, you know, I'm only told a little bit, you know, but God knows everything, you know. And God still says that you can be free in Christ. There's no condemnation in Jesus. And forgive us, I say often, I say to the Lord as a pastor, forgive us as a church if we ever do it otherwise. So often the church says, ooh, no, he's a bit smelly, doesn't look nice. Well, actually the Bible says that actually everybody is welcome to come into the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, sometimes the Christians, they don't help people come into the kingdom of God because we have our own ideas rather than what Scripture says. You see, God says that he wants to welcome us. And some of you tonight might be sat in your chair saying, well, I can never come to this church again because they're never going to accept me for who I am. You know what? We are. Why? Because Jesus says so. And why? Because actually every single one of us in this room who's a Christian tonight, people had to accept us, first and foremost, to come to find out a bit more about Jesus, to shove us, well, gently, to tell us about the things of God. But see, there's freedom from sin, but there's consequences with sin, isn't there? I've done stuff in the past that have been bad, I'm not happy about, God has given me freedom from, I'm in a loving, living relationship with Jesus today, but there are consequences from sin. You can't just forget it never happened, can you? But see, Jesus says, listen, it all happened, but I forgive you. And actually, whatever we do, there's always consequences, isn't there? If I go up to Mr. Jones tonight and shout at him, there'll be consequences, isn't it? I'll get the sack tomorrow. No. But there's always consequences, isn't there? There are consequences for the things that we do. And actually, Jesus says, look, the freedom that Jesus wants to give us is the freedom from consequences of sin. Jesus wants to say to us, yes, you did sin in the past, but you don't have to sin any longer. If what? If you put your trust in Jesus, he will forgive you for your sins and he will give you a new life. Now, we might have to live through our life with the consequences of what we did in the past because we might take a bit of time to change. But what Jesus says is this, come to me now, how you are, just as you are, and I will walk with you for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, and I will help you to not live that way again. Does that make sense? I will teach you to live a different way. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. I mean, the things that we've done, it should be death. But the gift that God has for us, the gift that those two girls have experienced, and when we were in the water tonight, Les and I were praying for them, saying, Lord, make them powerful, strong women for Jesus. Make them strong women of faith, that they declare the truth of Jesus in the coming days, weeks, and months. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, God's got this gift, and this gift is the gift of salvation. Salvation means being saved from the past into something new. And the gift of eternal life is what Jesus wants to give to us. But he doesn't want us just to enjoy eternal life when we die. He wants us to live in that presence with God today. I once spoke to somebody and I said, well, he said to me, but I've read this passage of scripture. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? He said, does that mean God will forgive me? I said, he will if you come to him. He said, okay, well, I'm going to wage it. I'm going to see how long I can live in sin to the moment before my death and hope that I've got enough time to say sorry right at the end. I said, well, that's not a great plan. He said, well, it is, because I can just live how I want to live. But just for the moment, I know I'm going to die. I'll just quickly get in there and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been a bad lad. And I said, but do you know when you're going to die? He said, well, no. But he said, I went online and I put my age in, and I put my weight in, and I put my height in, and I put all the food that I ate, not what I told my wife I ate, the stuff I really ate, he says. And I put all that in, and it said it gave me a day and a time when I'm going to die. I said, did it? Oh, that's great. I said, do you believe in that? He said, yeah. I said, when is it? He said, 2 weeks on Friday. I said, well, we better get talking then a bit longer. He said, don't worry, I don't need to talk today. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks on Thursday. Anyway, 2 weeks on Thursday, he never came to talk to me again. I don't know where he is. I don't know if it was true. I'm pretty sure it wasn't true. But, you know, there was somebody that said, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live it. And I'll accept eternal life from Jesus right at the end when I have to. But Jesus says to all of us today, it is freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. You were called to be free, but you do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Use your freedom to indulge in God. You see, with Jesus, our sins can be forgiven. With Jesus, there's no condemnation with him. Who's married? Put your hand up. Is it good? Are you enjoying it? That's good. You know what happens when you're married? You see, when their wife does something wrong, they want us to forget about it, don't they? They never want us to raise it again, do they? Chaps, come on. I saw that little wink. But when we do something wrong, right? Doesn't matter if it's 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40, 39 years ago, they still remember it, don't they? Have you noticed that? So I don't understand that. If they do something wrong, we've just got to forget it and erase it out of our minds forever. And of course we do, don't we? But if we do something wrong, they will say to us, you know what? 6 months, 6 years, 2 months and 3 days ago, you did this. I said, did I really, darling? Oh, and what does the Bible say? Yeah, the Bible says you've got to forget about these things, but I haven't forgot yet. But Jesus says to us, that's true, is it? Or is that just in my relationship? No. Poor pastor's wife, she always gets it, doesn't she? I'll make her some dinner when we get home and give her a nice glass of wine. She'll be all right. She'll be all right. But the thing is this, Jesus says, simply, just come as you are. Jesus said, there is freedom in God tonight. Jesus said that you don't need to be anybody but yourself. All you need to do is come before me and say, Jesus, I've done some stuff that I'm not proud about. I've done some stuff that I'm not happy about. And Jesus comes to us and says, you know what? If you confess your sins to me, I will forgive you for the things that you've done wrong. There'll be some of you here tonight that say, well, I don't need to be forgiven from anything because I'm a good person. Well, you might be a good person, but my mum's a good person. I never forget what she said to me. She said, darling, I'm such a good person. She said, I'm going to heaven, aren't I? I went, how do I tell her that she's probably not? And I said to her, mum, but do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you have a living relationship with Jesus? She said, no. I said, well, why do you want to go and be with him for eternity then if you don't want to be with him now? It's a good answer, I thought. Didn't you? Got out of that one. But actually, Jesus said, I want to give you life, and life in all its fullness today. You see, we could look at that scripture and say, you know what, it's about eternal life. But actually, it's not just about eternal life. God does say, I want to give you life, and life in all its fullness, and I want to give you a relationship with me for eternity if you confess your sins. But also God says this, God says, I want to have a living relationship with you now. I want to give you peace to now, today in your heart. I want to help you with those really difficult situations that you're going through. I want to love on you when actually really nobody else does. I want to tell you how precious you are in my eyes. I want to journey with you. I want to support you. I want to encourage with you. I want to love you unconditionally. I'm never going to condemn you. I want to accept you fully for who you are. You see, where I started, I want to come into land now, is this. That we're all looking for acceptance, and don't tell me you're not, because the human character looks for acceptance. We always want somebody to be pleased with us, don't we? We always want somebody to be happy with us. Well, Jesus says, I love you. Jesus said that I sent my only son, Jesus, to die on a cross, to forgive the sins, the wrong things you have done, so you can have life with me now and forever. We've heard tonight a little bit of those two stories, only a little bit. And that's one of the joys as a pastor. When you go through preparation with people, you hear their whole stories. But we've heard of two stories of people that said, you know what? I lived my life, but I wasn't fully accepted. I did a bit of this and I did a bit of that, but actually didn't ever feel that hole of satisfaction. They didn't tell us the whole story, but I'm sure they partied a bit. Well, I know they did. It's a little secret. Don't tell them I told you that. But they came to a realization where they've both found out that whatever the world has to offer, it never satisfied them. Whatever the world had to offer, it never accepted them for who they are and who God wants them to be. You see, we're all looking for acceptance. And Jesus says this, that I want to accept you. But whenever anyone turns to me, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and the Spirit is the Lord. There is freedom, and we are being transformed into the likeness of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says that. You see, God said, I want to give you freedom. And the question I want to end with this evening is this. Do you have freedom in your life? Do you have acceptance for who you are? Because Jesus wants to say to you tonight, as he said to Chloe and to Chelsea, and he said to many of us tonight, I can give you freedom. I can give you peace. I can give you purpose. I can give you life. And I can give you life in all its fullness. Dare I even say it, there might be people that have been a part of this church for a long time and you still haven't really understood what it means to have life from God in all its fullness. See, this world is ever changing by the minute. When I read the newspaper, and when I switch on the TV, and when I hear stories around me of people's discontentment, it's usually always because they're just discontent with the world because they haven't found that thing. They haven't found that thing that gives them fulfillment. Can I stand before you tonight and say this? I found it. I found it. I found that thing that gives me purpose. I found that thing that even when the rocks are rough on the road, that thing helps me along the way. Even when my life looks crazy and there's sadness and there's difficulties, I found that thing that helps me through it. I found that thing that says to me, you know what, Scott, I love you for who you are. I found that thing that says to me, you know what, be who you are, because I love that. I found that thing that says, you know what, I made you. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I perfectly made you for my purposes. I've met that thing. I've met that thing when I had those moments of doubt, and I say, oh my goodness, I'm not good enough. I've met that thing that says, you are. I've met that thing that directs my life. I've met that thing that has led me to places where I've been able to see amazing things happen. I've met that thing when I lie on my bed at night and I put my head on the pillow. And in those secret moments where nobody else knows about them, do you have them too? I've met that thing that says, rest and have peace, because I love you. I rest that thing that says that when my days are over here, I don't need to worry about when I go. Hope it's not tomorrow, but if it is, cheerio. But I know I don't need to worry about that, because I've met that thing that says, you know what? I have prepared a place for you to live with me for eternity. I've met that thing that when my time has come and I'm nearly at the end of my life, I don't need to be fearful, because I've met that thing and I know where I'm going. Some around me might be sad, but I won't be, because I know where I'm going. I'm going where the streets are lined with gold, where there's no more pain or suffering, and I know that I'm going to be with Jesus forever. See, I've met Jesus, but I'm not perfect. I'm still a work in progress. Maybe some of you are too. If you're perfect, God bless you, but you're also a liar. There's only one person that's perfect, I believe, and that's Jesus. But see, I've met him. I've gone through the waters of baptism. I've given my life to him. And I live today for him. And I know my future is secure in him. And I simply want to say to you this. If tonight you don't know that security, and you don't know that future, and you don't know that hope, can I plead with you with all of my heart? I don't usually plead that much, but can I plead with you with all of my heart that if actually you're looking for that thing that you want to satisfy you, would you put out your arm and would you ask Jesus to come and be that thing? You know why? Because I've been reading this thing for a long, long time. It's called the Bible. I've read it in Spanish as well. It's hard in Spanish and English. And it says this. It says, come to me and I will give you freedom. Come to me and I will give you life. Come to me and I will give you treasures beyond treasures. Come to me and I will satisfy your pain. Come to me and I will give you peace. Come to me and I will lead you. Come to me and I will give you life, and life in all its fullness, here on earth and in heaven. For years, I looked to find something else in my life. I did some crazy things. But I'll never forget the day that I met the only person that can give me true freedom. That was Jesus. And we've heard how Chelsea and Chloe have done that as well. The invitation is there. Do you remember what I said at the beginning? We've all done things that are wrong. But Jesus said, there's no condemnation in me. Jesus says, come to me. And why? You might be asking the simple question, why? And the simple answer is this. L-O-V-E. The simple answer is because Jesus died on a cross because he loves you. Scott, that's not good enough. Well, that's the answer. The answer is that Jesus sent his only son. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross to give us life, to give us a relationship with Jesus. And the question I have for you this evening is, are you willing to say yes? And I pray that if you are not a Christian, that you might reach your hand out to God. Because if you do, if you just put it out an inch, he's going to grab hold of it. And he's going to say, come on, let's walk together. And if you've been in church for a long time, but you haven't done that reaching out for a long time, can I encourage you to do that too? Because he wants to hold on to you and he wants to walk with you. True acceptance, true freedom comes from the one who created us in our mother's womb, Jesus. Let's pray, can we? Father God, thank you so much for the testimonies that we've heard tonight. Father God, thank you so much for the words of Scripture that say to all of us this evening, no matter where we've come from, no matter what our background looks like, Jesus says to us all, I love you. I want to forgive you. I want to walk with you and give you life. So Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us tonight to put our trust in Jesus and to put our hope in him. I want to encourage you all just to close your eyes for a few moments. Just close your eyes. And if there's any of you this evening in this place that want to just say, Jesus, I want to reach out my hand. I want to start that small journey that might take me to a changed life. With all the eyes that are closed, I can see them all closed. Just want to ask you, if you want to do that tonight, just want to ask you to simply just put up your hand and then put it back down again. If you're here tonight and by what you've seen and by what you've heard, you want to put your hand out to Jesus and trust in him tonight, I want to just encourage you just to put your hand up in the air quickly and then put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, thank you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Father God, for what you mean to us. And Lord, for those people tonight that just want to reach out their hand slightly to Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would do what we heard in Chelsea's testimony, that you would draw them close to a church where they could go and find out more about Jesus. Wherever that is, we pray that you would lead them towards that. Amen. We're going to finish our time and we thank you for what our eyes have seen this evening. We thank you for what our ears have heard. We thank you, Father God, again for Chelsea and for Chloe. We pray, Father God, that you would use them mightily in your kingdom, that you would use them to be strong women of faith, that will continue to be faithful to the calling that you've placed on their life. And Lord, for those of us who have been here this evening, Lord, we pray that you would send us out to go and to live our life with Jesus. And for those of us who are here tonight who have not come to know Jesus yet, we pray, Father God, that you'll bring us to a point in our life and we'll reach out our hand and that you will take comfort by holding us and walking with us. So, Father God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we say thank you for what you've done tonight and we pray that you'll go with us tonight into our workplaces, into our colleges, into our schools and help us to live a life that glorifies your name. Amen.